Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I'm your host, Greg Wareham, and we have brought back an expert executive broker with Keller Williams and a very good friend. Dino, it's great to see you again.
Thank you.
Dino DeMora.
Good to see you, Greg.
So, you know, Dino and I have been talking a lot about some of the buyer's agency agreements that are coming down the pike, and all of a sudden they're here. And I don't think there's anyone more qualified to have this conversation than Dino. Let's talk about it, Dino. What's going on with buyer's agency?
So it's not just buyer's agency. The short version is all in the state of New Jersey, effective August 1st, all realtors have to have a signed agreement before working with a buyer, which is not necessarily a bad thing because now there's more transparency. There's more transparency with what the buyer's obligated to do, what the realtor's obligated to do, and so essentially we're going to see some more transparency in regard to that.
So we were looking at the buyer's agency agreement. You just did a meeting with 100 real estate agents in it talking about it. I mean, it's a 5-page document, correct?
Yeah. So 5 pages are no fun, but there's a lot of frills in there that really we don't really need to focus on, but of course there's obligations that the agent's required to go over, what they're required to do, duties of the buyer, what they're obligated to do, and of course last but not least, who's paying for what,
right?
So
I noticed when we were going through that agreement that you have to be very specific. All right, so now I'm a buyer's agent, and I need to sit down with a potential buyer prior to showing them any homes to go through exactly what are the services I'm going to perform.
Yep.
And do you have an option as to whether or not it's a blanket agreement for all houses in a particular area or an individual house? Talk through that a little bit, Dino.
So essentially, the premise of the agreement, rewind away from buyers. Pretend if you're working with a seller, you get a listing agreement signed.
Right.
With the legal right and the exclusive right to market the home.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the exclusive right to market this home and you promise to put in the MLS and you promise to market the home to the best of your ability. And so now take that away from the seller and you have a similar agreement with a buyer. So the realtor tells the buyer, I'm going to work with you for X period of time, a day, a week, a month, a year, and for a specific area, be it a town, a house, a town, a county.
A state.
And so you try to get specific as you can. So the buyer knows you're going to represent them in Ocean County, in Monmouth County for 30 days, 90 days, whatever the case may be, whatever you agree on. But the key factor is it's transparency with the buyer and the realtor. We're choosing to work together for such a period of time for a specific area or broader area if you choose to, and this is the amount of money we're going to be willing to pay for that.
Yeah, so it's a huge change relative to the way things have been handled for decades.
120 no. years.
12 decades, maybe that.
Yeah.
So it's a huge change, but there are some positive things about it.
There are.
So from a positive standpoint, now the buyer's agent goes under a contract with that buyer specifying, hey, here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's the time frame. And you really emphasized that in the meeting today. Time frame has to be identified, what the commission is and everything like that. And now they can't just leave you.
No.
So now they're legally obligated to work with you through that time frame in that particular area.
Correct. So they can't just leave you. You can't just walk away from each other. And we discussed that. Where the termination has to be a mutual parting of the ways in writing. And so that's important because it obliges the realtor to present their value up front and what their services are up front. Mm-hmm. So everyone loves to talk about the money factor. But what do you get for the money? I mean, it doesn't matter if you can drive one specific type of car or another type of car and you choose to pay, typically a very big difference because of what comes with that car. People are willing to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to pay more for a specific type of truck than a smaller compact vehicle because I want more space.
Well, you got long legs, Dino.
Right. I got what?
You have long legs.
Yeah, I have long legs. I need more leg room. And so I'm willing to pay more, but I expect more. And consumers, we're all that way. So now realtors have to be able to communicate and express their value. And I'm going to provide these services. I'm going to fill in the blank. And therefore, this is why I'm asking for such and such compensation.
You know, and one of the big things with that, when we're talking about it today in the meeting, I think from a consumer standpoint, because it's been so easy to work with a buyer's agent. Okay, yes. I call one of the big lead providers out there. Mm-hmm. They put me in touch with a real estate agent, or it's a personal referral. I just go show them houses.
Right.
And if they go under contract, deal closes, I get compensated. And
right.
When you make something too easy, it feels like there's no work going into it.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at what that buyer's agent does, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And let's talk about that a little bit. So, all right, you're a buyer's agent. What are the type of things that you have to do?
So one of the things that they give a brief description in paragraph 6 of the buyer agency agreement, and I'm encouraging a lot of realtors, or every realtor, to really show their worth and really get down to the nitty-gritty and tell your consumer, tell your buyer, this is what I'm going to do for you. And it includes everything from a preliminary search it starts with a needs analysis. What do you need? A 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath. I need a basement. I don't want a basement. I have to have a pool. I don't want a pool. I need an adult community. I need whatever the case may be. I want to live in this town. I need such and such a school district. And we go through that needs analysis. From there, we have to then provide a search. We do a search. And from there, we have to then call agents, cooperating agents, listing agents. As a buyer's agent, I call a listing agent mm-hmm. and ask them questions after reviewing listings and seeing if they're a fit. Then I introduce those properties to you and say, hey, Greg, I think these homes might be a fit. And then we go schedule the appointments and then logistically arrange all that so that it works within a specific time frame. And then I do follow-up and I speak with the listing agents and give them feedback. And then if you like one of the properties, we go forward and present an offer and negotiate and hopefully put a deal together, get into a turn of review, inspections, inspection resolution, appraisal issues, recommendations of who to use for an inspector, who to use for a lender, who to use for a title company, who to use for an attorney.
As you're saying all of those things, I mean, those things often get glossed over by the consumer, and just because they don't know, right? Because we make the process kind of easy.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of like dealing with an attorney in a lot of ways. Like, what are you really paying for? You can submit the paperwork yourself to the state.
Sure.
You can go on LegalZoom.com and you can do all of this, but yet you choose to go with an attorney. And
correct.
The reason for that isn't because of the paperwork, it's because of the human capital that attorney brings to the table. And it's the same with a real estate agent.
That's right.
It's the 25 years of experience that Dino, that you have and other agents have to be able to coordinate these things in a fashion that make it seem seamless.
That's always, and so consumers, sometimes they know the difference, sometimes they don't. Where this, I believe, is gonna be a positive change is that realtors are going to have to be able to communicate that value. That's gonna be huge because we do all these things and the public didn't know and the consumer didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to be upfront and say, I'm going to do all of these things. In the case where realtors who didn't ever provide those values, those valuable services, A, they're not going to be able to communicate that they do those things. And B, they're going to have to step up and they're going to have to do those. They're going to have to operate and really perform at a high level.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I think it's going to be good on both sides. The realtor has a commitment from the buyer. The buyer knows what they're getting for what they're paying.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting because it's something as simple as, and you had mentioned in the meeting today, well, if someone comes to you, a consumer comes to you and says, I want to buy this house, but I don't want to have a buyer's agent. First thing, you can't do anything. You can't help at all. You can't lead them down the path at all because you could put yourself in a situation where there could be potentially liability. But it's something as simple as, okay, Go put together a purchase and sale contract.
Right.
And so, like, how do you even do that? Like, the consumer doesn't know.
So here's the fun part. As a realtor, it's now our obligation to tell a consumer, hey, I can appreciate that you don't want to use a realtor, and ask why not. Mm-hmm. So they ask why not, and then usually 99% of the time the answer will be, because the answer has been, I don't want to spend the money, I want to save the money, I want to. The realtor can now say, well, let me explain to you why you should use me. And they're going to be obligated to really provide that level of service. They're going to have to share. This is why you should use me. This is what I bring to the table. This is what I can do for you. Do you think those services are of value? Maybe, maybe not. And they should make the decision at that point. They should hear the sales pitch. They should listen to what the agent's saying before making that determination whether they should use a realtor or not.
Yeah, just not come in with that shutdown approach to it.
I don't want to use a realtor. Well, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. It's up to you. And I say this because there are certain buyers that have flipped or bought and sold many, many, many properties. Maybe they don't want to use a realtor because they're so experienced, but maybe they do because they know the intricacies, they know how, they know all the process entails, and it's a lot of work. You know what, at the end of the day, you choose. Sometimes certain clothes you throw in the washer and dryer, and some clothes you bring to the dry cleaner. Why would you pay that amount of money to wash a shirt and press it? Well, because they wash it, they get all the stains out, they press it, it's crisp. I don't know what kind of chemical they use. I don't really want to know the starch, but that shirt stays stiff all day. You pay for that shirt, but you know you're okay with paying for that service because you know what you're getting.
I love that analogy because it's so true. Or you could throw it in the washing machine and potentially wreck it.
You could.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Hey, maybe it comes out good. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
You know, it's little things through the process, right? All right, there's inspection issues. There's different things.
Sure.
If you want to represent yourself, you got to negotiate this stuff out on your own.
Right. So then comes the liability to the agent. If someone tells you up front they don't want to be represented, how much can you really help them? You may, even with the best of intentions, with a good heart, you may want to step back and say, it's really not my place. You've denied my services. So maybe you should, you know, seek other counsel. Maybe you should speak with an attorney. Maybe, you know, and go from there.
You know, the really nice thing about this is the educational process that hasn't always been as transparent as it will be under the buyer's agency agreement.
Right.
But there's some challenges with it as well. What do you think are some of the challenges that we could see from it as things start to come together?
So what we already know, what we're seeing happening throughout the country, because this is a nationwide proposition here, this is a settlement extended throughout the entire country. Buyers don't like being committed. Mm-hmm. But we saw that, you really go back in time. There was a time when sellers didn't really want to sign an exclusive right to sell agreement.
Sure.
So I think initially buyers, they love the freedom, and they have loved and enjoyed the freedom of using multiple realtors to search for properties for them.
Mm-hmm.
And well, they're going to now have to sign up for working with a realtor, be it for a specific property and having an obligation, or for a specific period of time.
Or a specific area.
Yeah.
So I'm your agent in Monmouth County, period.
Buyers may not like that commitment up front. Mm. They may not. So one of the ultimate challenges I have with this is that there's no real trial period. Having to get an agreement signed with a buyer right away, that would be a major objection. After working with someone and knowing that you gel, knowing that you guys have a good energy, knowing that your realtor works hard for you, some of the objections that we anticipate seeing are buyers not wanting to commit at all,
mm-hmm.
but especially not wanting to commit up front
to
an agent right away. That's one. I think how to overcome that is really being able to present your value and communicate that at a very high level. Talked about that. Another objection might be the buyer's foregoing the opportunity to work with multiple agents. So
we can see almost an interview process maybe starts to take place, just like on the sales side.
Correct.
So when you're looking to sell your house, a lot of people will interview several listing agents.
Sure.
To find the right fit for them, and you may see the same thing happen on the buy side, whether or not it's in person or there's Zoom calls, but people doing their due diligence.
Well, that's exactly it. I think we're going to move forward into a place where buyers, just like sellers, will interview multiple realtors. They'll make a decision, more educated decision, before starting their home search, which is probably the right way to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And they'll go forward having a better understanding of the process before going forward. Right now, a lot of what I believe a lot of buyers act on emotion. I believe they operate on a whim. They walk into an open house, they fall in love, and they don't have true representation. So I think the value will be there later on when buyers or the consumer as a whole come to understand the value and the process becomes more streamlined.
Because now that you have a contract, you have a true fiduciary relationship
Correct.
With that buyer
Correct.
Under contract, which
Right.
you really didn't have that in the past.
Never. So you think of pre-1995 in New Jersey, every agent worked for the seller and the buyer had no representation. Well, that changed. It changed kind of, because they didn't really have representation until they signed a consumer information statement stating that we're choosing to work together, which was the preliminary document to a buyer agency agreement, because they're choosing, this agent's going to represent me. Fine. Well, now we're solidifying it. So the objections are going to be that exclusive agreement that we didn't really have before. And there are non-exclusive agreements available, but realtors invest a significant amount of time in the buying process. I mean, literally 75 hours from contract to close. So,
I mean, we've joked in the past
that,
yeah, it feels like it's a really big commission at the end, but sometimes you're working for $5 an hour.
Yeah, dollar per hour, is it really?
Right.
The amount of homes, when you add up the amount of hours that you've spent on buyers from January 1 to December 31st, and how much commissions you've actually collected, it's not a lot of money, really. But
and really coming back to what you were saying before, so this is, okay, I've taken the phone call, I've had, you know, a half an hour conversation, then I have to reach out to schedule setting up all these houses, then I have to get in my car and I have to drive
yes.
to each individual house.
Correct.
And all that's been basically for free unless something goes under contract.
But it's more complex than that.
Yeah.
Because really, when you walk into a house as a realtor with a buyer, there's an expectation of expertise and knowledge. Mm. That, well, here's where push comes to shove. If you're a really good realtor, you know the neighborhoods that you're selling, you know the types of homes that you're showing, and you can give educated answers. You can give answers based on experience. Well, in this neighborhood, the builder did such and such, this is a common issue. And here's the easy remedy, or here's a not so easy remedy. And this is approximately, well, this is the route you should take to resolve this issue. And or we can negotiate. And so now your expertise really comes through. Is it just showing a house? Just showing a house is walking around. This is a living room. This is the kitchen. Those days are over.
Yeah, it comes back to the high value of the human capital.
Right. So right? We're going to have to really know the product that we're selling and know the market that we're selling in. And so is that really bad for the consumer? Not really. So the consumer is going to, I believe, start interviewing multiple agents, and they're not going to sign with the first agent. They're going to talk. They're going to really rely heavily on referrals. Hey, Greg, who did you use when you bought your home? And did you like them? And what was your experience like? Should I use that realtor? Well, that's going to come into play.
And, you know, I think that, you know, the buyers had the luxury all of this time to really have the seller pay the commission.
Always.
Not really. The seller paid the commission. So it's not like people are being charged anything additional. It's just a transfer of who's paying for it. But still, in some situations, the seller still may be willing to pay that commission.
Always.
But where it really becomes a gray area is they can't publicize that anymore.
Correct.
Right? So you can't put it on the MLS. Could you speak a little bit to that, Dino?
So one of the new part of the Real Estate Consumer Protection Enhancement Act, and, well, as part of the NAR settlement, we're not allowed to advertise commissions. And so they're separating the marketing of commissions and the MLSs. And that's really what it's about, keeping those two separate. The key factor is, when it comes to any facet of selling a home, there's marketing. And so the reason why a seller chooses one listing agent over another is because of their marketing, and they choose to market in certain ways. You market homes, how pretty are the pictures? How well written are the descriptions? How much information does that listing agent provide to consumers? Is there school information there? Are there room measurements? Is any of that stuff?
You know the local area. Where am I going to go eat? Where am I going to do this?
Is it all there? Is the listing agent providing any of that? Well, part of the whole marketing package is not just pretty pictures and well-written descriptions. It's also the listing price. So what is the home selling for? What is it listed for? Well, and then, of course, you can be aggressive. There's different avenues you can take with that. And then last but not least, that wasn't really ever in the limelight until, well, it was, I shouldn't say it was never. It was like 20 years ago, and now it's back, is the compensation to cooperating brokers. And as always, you kind of get what you pay for, usually. And so now what we're looking at is your listing at promoting that price. Are they promoting that compensation? As a seller, do you choose to compensate a little bit or a lot? I believe commissions as well as pricing, not I believe, they are. Commissions and pricing are always market driven. In certain markets, a home can be worth $100,000, and in a hot seller's market, the same home is worth $110,000, and in a buyer's market, it's worth $90,000. It's the same house. What changed?
Market conditions. And you bring up a great point with that as well. So this all comes into play coming off maybe the hottest seller's market we've ever seen.
Correct.
We've seen some other crazy ones in the early 2000s, but this one was very aggressive.
It was very.
And I think it was because it was in such a short period of time, right, where prices went up. But as soon as that demand goes away to buy houses, well, now you're in a situation where the seller may have to compensate even more to the buy side.
So we saw, right. We saw a rising seller's market pre-COVID. Then COVID hit and ridiculously low interest rates that maybe, it's my opinion, maybe they shouldn't never have been that low, but that's personal opinion. And that created hyperinflation of pricing from between urban flea that was already happening with ridiculously low interest rates, with a market demand like we've never, ever, ever seen, caused by something we've never, ever seen before. Well, here we are, 2020, 21, 22, and 2023, we saw hyperinflation of housing prices. What happened in 24? We're seeing a little bit of a leveling in some markets, in a lot of markets.
Well, when you start getting like 25? Texas and those areas, Florida, there's a surplus of inventory.
There's oversaturation. So
you're starting to see those prices come back down again.
So we're seeing some key markets throughout the country where oversaturation of inventory is already a factor in pricing your home and in compensation being offered out to realtors. Because does a realtor have to spend one weekend marketing your home or 1 year marketing your home? And no one likes to talk about, but it was not a lot of fun in 2010 taking 1 year listing agreements, hoping that you would sell that home for under market value.
I mean, when you see the month supply of inventory in a lot of markets, 2.5 to 3 months right now, in a normal market, it's what, do you know, 9 months?
Yeah.
6 months, 9 months?
Well, I mean, great and healthy, it would be 6 months, technically. 6 months of inventory, 4 to 6 months of inventory is healthy, but we're nowhere near that. We're still on paper, we're still in the seller's market, but will that change? Will that change after the elections? Will it change as we go into next spring market? Will it change in the spring of 2026? Regardless, it's not an if, it's when. Because the market is cyclical, we will go back. And what will determine pricing and what will determine commission and compensation? It will be market driven. It's always market driven. It's always been market driven. So
yeah,
people,
no question about it. And when you look at someone looking to purchase a home and commission, I'm not going to mention a number out there from a percentage standpoint, but the home buyer, there's still going to be the opportunity where the seller's looking to pay all of that commission, maybe
Correct.
Part of that commission.
Sure.
There's also other opportunities for a buyer not to necessarily have to bring that money to closing, whether or not they're financing it into the mortgage, putting down less money. Like, there's options.
Right.
This isn't a situation where, hey, you know, now I have to pay my buyer's agent, you know, X amount of dollars out of pocket. There's always a solution to try to make it as effortless or less impactful to the buyer. And well, to your point about the market conditions, I mean, and things are going to change. It's a fluid market. It always has been. And we'll see some changes over the course of time.
It always changes. And it always evolves. Whether it's a rising market and we're going from a seller's market into a super seller's market like we saw, or where the market starts slowing down. It's always evolving. And it's always influenced by multiple factors. It's never just one thing. I'm listening to different experts in the area. Some of them are focused on inflation. Some are focused on unemployment rates, mortgage interest rates, what's going on in Wall Street, what's happening in foreign markets, how that affects the U.S. market. Are they all right? In theory, yes, because all of those factors will influence the U.S. housing market. They'll all influence the market in Monmouth and Ocean County, New Jersey. And we're going to see it change. What we did, the reason why we don't really like to talk about pricing and percentages, because by the time the podcast is actually published, they're obsolete. Those numbers are irrelevant. They're
so
already
true.
Outdated. There's no reason to discuss like specific numbers. Next month, it's a whole different world. The month after that, as we go into August, as we go in September, Labor Day to Thanksgiving is its own market. From Thanksgiving through February is its own market. We go in and we deal with those changes all the time, and we don't really think about them because the cycle is so short. But then when we look at the 10 to 12 year cycle, it sneaks up on you. It doesn't happen right
about
away.
There.
It doesn't happen right away, and you forgot. Yeah. Oh yeah, we did that before. And so,
you know what, to your point about, you know, so many different things impact the U.S. housing market.
Yeah.
But as we all know, the big thing that impacts that supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
The market will
dictate
what's going to happen moving forward.
Look, but you have to go three deep with that. There's supply and demand, but what creates the supply? What frees up sellers to move? What motivates a seller to say, I love my home, I want to move anyway? What motivates a seller to say, ugh, I hate my home, I kind of like my house, but I want bigger, or I can't afford this, I need to go to smaller, or I don't like this area. There are so many factors that motivate a seller. Well, you have exponentially on a larger scale, a lot of sellers to move at the same time or not move at the same time.
Yeah, so true, Dino. It's so much deeper you look at, and that's why you have to work with a professional in the industry so you really understand what's going on. Now, Dino, I know that you have a board of directors meeting
you're butting up against.
So we're going to wrap this up. We'd love to have you back on.
As this evolves,
we could talk about everything in more detail.
Yeah, I'd love that, because there will be the evolution of the buyer's agency agreement, the Protection Enhancement Act. We're going to see, now they're really in theory, after August 1 when they're implemented in New Jersey, well, a month from today, we're going to be having a different discussion. How did this all pan out 30 days from now and 60 days from now? What did we see? Those are going to be some interesting conversations, and I'd love to be a part of them.
We'll look forward to having you back on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
You got it.
You may have heard some background noise. We're on location. We had the pleasure of having Dino DeMauro here.
We did. We had a great meeting.
It was great. We look forward to having you back on soon, Dino.
Thanks.
We'll let you run to your meeting.
All right.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening today, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. Bye, guys.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.